Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show, CJAD 800.
9:05, good morning. I forgot to mention this to you last week because we were having a little fun because I'm not the handiest of guys. And I told you that just before we left on the holiday for California, a couple hours before, we heard this thump in the kitchen and one of the shelves in the pantry had fallen. You know, because those little plastic things, they give out after a while. What do you call those? The supports?
Yeah.
And Walter looked at me, paused and said, "Do you need help?" And I said, "Hey, I resent that tone." But anyways, we took care of it ourselves.
Well, I'm thinking, Ken, with all these years doing the home improvement show, you've probably learned.
I picked up a few things.
A thing or two.
I picked up a few things. I do have a toolbox. Anyways, we went and we got the metal enforcements and supported the all the shelves in that pantry because you don't realize after a while how much weight you're putting on these things.
100%. Yeah. And especially if you don't look often at things, like for example, we had someone that called us and sent us pictures, and they had a leaky cabinet, a leaky sink actually. The gap seal was leaking. And they had mold all over the cabinet, but they never opened that cabinet, right? So, you know, things that you don't use as often, open and close, check every now and then.
And it forced us to look at some of the other cupboards in the kitchen cabinets see how are they holding up, how much weight is.
Yeah.
Like, one of them that we rarely go in has all these, like, heavy, crystal trays that can really weigh down. You're surprised that they've lasted this long. The house is almost 30 years old now. Anyhow.
You know, which takes us to another subject that maybe I wanted to discuss as well today about what do you do when a contractor ghosts you or disappears on you or quits on you during a very sensitive part of the job that could create you potentially damages?
How often does this happen?
Often,
yeah,
more often than we think, unfortunately, and there is a portion of it that need to be understood, because I mean your rights as a consumer are important. Everyone in this relationship have rights. The contractor have rights and obligations. So is the consumer. So, example, this week I got a call. Someone is in a panic mode. She had a contractor that she hired, and she thought she did the due diligence. She checked out many of the, the CVs and the references and so on and so forth in the RBQ. And they had what seems to be a conflict of character. Okay?
Not clicking?
They were not clicking. That's what I kind of understood if I read between the lines. And the contractor, by that time, had ripped out all her gutters around the house and just decided to take off. Said, "I'm not coming back. I don't like your character. I don't like your personality. We're not getting along. You are selfish." And he insults the client, and he takes off.
So what's her recourse in this case?
So, I mean, the first thing, obviously, anyone would do would be panic. Because right now, you're right smack at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Good luck finding a gutter company. Most of the gutter companies shut down for the season. And yes, you can potentially have some certain gutters made here and there, but they're never continuous and prefabricated. So you're going to end up with lower grade gutters. And if you find someone willing to do it in this weather. So obviously in this case, the contractor have waited until midnight, 5 to midnight, to quit on the client, which is not right. And they had an obligation to secure the site. There are still materials that were not secured that could very easily fly in a case of a windstorm and create damages to others. So there's a liability there. They have removed some of the siding of the house, which can create water infiltration. So, I mean, the first thing you want to do is you want to document all of that in writing. So, email, registered mail. Email is faster, obviously, but you will always back it up with registered mail.
Do you take photos in this case, too?
Of course. Videos, photos, all the communications you had with the contractor, because the contractor does have an obligation to secure the site before they take off. If let's say it's their right to quit for XYZ reason, they're not getting payment or
they're
what have you.
They're still obliged to.
They're still obliged to secure the site and ensure that they that the house is in good order and there's no liability to them. They have an obligation to inform the client in writing, okay, and list all their grievances in this case, right? Having said that, the homeowner in this case, obviously starts looking for other contractors. Now she can't find. In a panic, she calls the insurance company. Okay, she says, "This is what happened to me. What are my recourses? Can you guys go against my contractor?" Guess what? So the insurance company says, "Oh, someone removed your gutters. You don't have gutters now. So now you're not covered if you have water damage coming to the basement because your house is not protected with covers, with gutters." So that brought another dimension to the issue. And in this case, now the client is in a real tight spot. So she calls the Régie des Bâtiments. She makes a complaint, which is the right way to go, and so on and so forth. I mean, but now she has to hire a lawyer and everything takes time. Hmm. Okay. So what I'm trying to say is, you know, you have to be preemptive and always have a plan B. If you see that, you know, you hire someone, and there were red flags, speaking with the homeowner, there were red flags, there were things that she was not very happy with from the get-go. Like they would show up, work an hour or two, disappear for a week, claiming there's a roofing emergency somewhere, coming back. So at one point, yes, you could have contractors with certain mishaps here and there, scheduling issues. But, you know, when it becomes to be repetitive, start planning for the worst right away. Don't wait for things to escalate to that level when you see that you're not getting anywhere.
Are you always at the mercy of one of these situations where the contractor says, yeah, there's a roofing emergency, we have to take, and that gives them the right to sort of leave your project?
I mean, look, in this case, she became the emergency, okay? So, you know, he kind of used that excuse, unfortunately, one time too many. And now in her case, it is an emergency because her house is not protected with gutters. She have a negative slope in her around her house. So it's just a question of the spring thaw coming and then she's going to have water infiltration in the basement. So that's why we have to, look at things a bit more with a wide angle. When you feel that there's a repetitive pattern of something going on, always, always, always stop planning for your plan B. You know, call another professional if you have to. Get them to be on standby. You know, you'd never know.
It's coming up on 9:14, so she called you and I guess was looking for some help.
That's right. I mean, obviously, in that whole process, we're trying to find her, the guys, at least to secure the site. At least put back the siding that was taken out, make sure that the house is watertight, and I've called all my gutter guys, calling in for a favor here and there and what have you. We're still not giving up on it. We're going to probably find a solution for her. But the idea is she's really in a tight spot right now.
No kidding.
And not many people can help her.
You might just need to tighten the thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Walter Assey from Renovco is here as usual on a Saturday morning for the Home Improvement Show. If you want to talk to him, you have something you need to ask him, you need a little guidance. Sometimes you just need to talk to someone to get you started on a project or a renovation or something that needs to be taken care of. 514-790-0800. Call now. We'll put you on the air. It's the time of the year, Walter, where Walter's doing some work. He's doing some renovation work on his headphones.
I don't know, man, but these headphones never work when they have to.
Someone got really mad at headphones the other day. I can't remember who, but I heard it on the air, and they took their frustration out on the headphones.
They're not user-friendly. I think you guys bought it from IKEA. It's like it has to be in pieces, and you have to put it all together on your ears.
By the way, I went to IKEA for the first time in a couple of years recently. I forget what we went for.
The meatballs.
The meatballs. You know, they get off topic here, but I haven't been there in a couple of years, so I think they've taken a page out of the Costco book because they have a sort of like a counter now where you can get a hot dog at IKEA on the main floor.
Oh, really?
Because you know how popular it is at Costco, right?
Well, yeah, of course.
And get the hot dog.
Hot dog and the pizza.
Yeah, hot dog, pizza, and a drink. And anyhow, 514-790-0800. I was going to mention it's different people are leaving now for Florida, snowbirds, right? They're leaving their homes. Mm-hmm. And not sure if we've tackled this already, but it bears repeating. So many Quebecers, as we know, head south.
I don't blame them.
Don't blame them, yeah. And just a couple of reminders of things to do to sort of get the house ready so you can leave for an extended period of time.
You know, first and foremost, we have to talk, and I don't think we've touched on that before. It's a question of insurance. A lot of times, people don't understand their obligations as far as insurance is concerned. It's one thing to go to Florida for a few months. It's another thing to understand what happens if you have an issue. And that issue does not necessarily always have to be a water damage, right? So we figure we shut off the water, we bleed the system, everything is good. But if you have, if you have any, for example, if a tree falls off on your roof, punctured your roof, water comes in, or even, water coming in from the roof because you have simply an older roof, and you haven't been there for a while and the water leaked and aggravated damages, well, you're not covered.
Hmm.
The reason you're not covered is because the insurance, when they insure your home, they are insuring an occupied home. And a home that's vacant for 3 or 4 or 5 months is not considered occupied. So you need to have someone checking in into your home every 48 hours. So every second day. If you can have someone check every day, even better. And that have to be logged. And how do you log it? It's through an alarm system, right? So, they come in, they deactivate the alarm. That's a log that someone came in and came out. That's your proof, if you wish.
Mm-hmm.
So that's important. That's extremely important. Because in case something happens, you're not covered if you can't prove that someone was checking in your home.
How thorough did they have to do it? Like, how thorough a check are we talking? You want them to go up in the attic, in the basement?
No, I mean, I'm talking about going to every floor, like checking the basement, checking the main floor, checking the second floor, making sure everything is okay. We're not talking about an inspection, more like, look around, a look-see. For a minute or two, pick up the mail, stuff like that,
Let me just ask you this: could cameras handle that? Because we have cameras for the dogs, to keep an eye on the dogs when we leave the house. So we tend to use the cameras when we're away too. We say, hey, let's take a look at, we have one pointed at the kitchen floor, we have one in the living room.
Well, you have a lot more than cameras now that you could do, including
the sensors.
The sensors that are linked to your smartphone. Mm. So any water that they that is censored that is not supposed to be there, or a change in the pressure in the water system, that automatically gives you a notification on your phone.
Mm.
But the insurance companies unfortunately have not evolved to put that as, if you wish, a replacement for, right. Mm. There's only so much that the smart system can give you, but at the same token, you need to check the thermostat to make sure your furnace is working. Because let's say you have cameras, the cameras are not going to give you the heat of the house. So all what you'll be knowing is, oh, great, I have, everything looks good, but your furnace has shut down and now it's minus 10 in your home. So there, in the smart systems, you can have access to your thermostats, you see what's going on, and so on and so forth. But insurance-wise, that doesn't abolish your responsibility of having someone regularly check in. In a condo building, it's always easier because in condos, a lot of times you have security, you have a janitor, so you can get them to do that type of work for you. But in a house setting, it's a bit more complicated. So if you have a family member or a neighbor that can come in and do that for you, that would be awesome. It's important. I mean, and also for the security and safety for the house. Don't forget, you don't want the house to look abandoned, right?
Timers.
Timers, mail that is overflowing from your mailbox. unshoveled walkways, thieves and robbers, that's what they look for.
Sometimes it's as simple, having someone repark the car in the driveway and correct. Move it, you know?
Correct. I mean, if you have a car in the driveway that has 30 feet of snow on it, that's not a good indication, even if you do everything else around it. It's little things left and right. But you have to factor in the worst-case scenario and leave the house and plan for it accordingly. And you have the time to do it usually because especially if you're a snowbird, you do that every year. So technically have to become a pro.
That's some good advice for snowbirds from Walter Azzi from Renovco. It's 9:28. We're going to take a little break here. News is ready to go, and then we're going to come back. You can call and talk to Walter and get you on the radio here at 514-790-0800. The Home Improvement Show continues right after this. Right back to the show and your calls in just a second. It's Ken Connors with a word for Electrico Home Services. This is a Montreal company, keeps growing, expanding their services, offering you more ways to keep your home comfortable and your family safe. So another winter on the way, right? So if your heating system is not performing as well as you'd like it to, give Electrico Home Services a call. They are experts in heating, cooling, ventilation. You may have heard me tell you recently, too, that Electrica is now an authorized dealer for Generac generators, right? And they've also partnered up with Lennox, another well-established, trusted name who have a full range of heating and cooling options. So maybe you're thinking of getting those warming cables for your roof. More and more owners are doing that as well. One phone call takes care of it all. 514-768-7778. That's Electrica with a K.ca.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
514-790-0800 if you'd like to talk to Walter Azzi from Renovco and ask him a question like Joe in RDP did. Joe, are you there?
Hi.
Hi, out in RDP. You want to talk about water pressure. What's the issue?
The issue is I have a water pressure valve in my basement that tells me the pressure of the water, which is usually at 50 pounds, which is great. Somebody takes a shower, you open the water, the pressure goes down to 40, comes back up to 50. So far, so good. But when I use the dishwasher, the pressure goes up to 62.
Okay. That's the only place, the only fixture that you would use that will go up to that?
Exactly. I tried with the washing machine. It goes down. Everything else goes down except for the dishwasher.
Do you know the size pipe that you have for your dishwasher? The feed pipe?
Well, it's probably with those flex tubes, which are
the what? PEX. Yeah, but the size of the PEX.
It's a small one, I guess.
Half inch.
Oh, I'd say smaller.
Really? Okay. Okay. And you know that your pressure regulator works fine. You don't
absolutely
have any issue.
Absolutely, it's brand new.
Okay, so the pressure regulator is brand new.
Absolutely.
You don't have any issue with low pressure anywhere, right? Like so.
No, everything is excellent. The shower, all the water pressure in the house is great.
Okay. And would you say that the dishwasher is the closest to the main entry from the city as far as plumbing?
It's the opposite. It's the farthest.
The farthest. Okay. Wow. So that's a bit of a mystery to be honest with you. Is this a new pipe? That's maybe another way to ask you the question. The fact that you're saying it's a PEX pipe means it's a newer generation feed pipe.
No, I would say it's older.
Well, what's older for you?
Oh, I would say 30 years old at least.
No, it can't be PEX if it's 30 years old.
It's not PEX. It's the silver, what do you call that thing, that little hose that you buy to attach.
The what? Sorry?
It's just the hoses that you buy, they come in 16 inches, whatever amount. You screw on one end, you screw on the other, and Bob's your uncle.
Okay. I don't know your installation, but what could be an issue would be, sometimes that happens when you have a pipe that is clear of all sediments, and usually it's because the cleaner pipe or just that the pipe is clean, and you would have more pressure in that line, and you could have less pressure in other lines. But to give you a straight answer just like that, I wouldn't know. The fact that you're going up to 60, does that bother you at all? Is it causing any issues for you, or you just?
Doesn't seem to cause any problems. Everybody's happy, but okay. Is it a problem?
I mean, I don't see it as a problem. Usually, if you hear any rattling of pipes or any vibration that you don't like, that's usually a red flag. If you don't see any issues with that, then I don't think it's a problem. Pipes tend to have different pressures depending on the sediment that is in them, because most of us don't know that, you know, even feed pipes have sediments and they need to be cleaned if you have any water pressure changes. Now, the fact that your pressure gauge is brand new, That's good, because that's usually where we start. I would have worried more if you would have had a lower pressure in your system, because that would have given me another story of either corroded pipes or cracked pipes or some slow leak somewhere. The fact that you don't have that problem is actually good news. It's not bad news at all.
All right, so we'll live with it, and everybody's happy.
There you go.
Okay. Thanks, Joe. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. My pleasure. 514-790-0800 is the number to call if you want to talk to Walter. 514-790-0800. From the text line, Walter, if you don't mind, says, good morning, Walter. I took my contractor to small claims court because when he left the job, it was leaking everywhere. He came to me through a CAA recommendation. I took him to small claims court and lost because I didn't give him enough time to fix his work. Contractors in this province get away with far too much. There's not enough accountability. That came in from Chris.
You know what? That's a very good point. And maybe it's important that we touch on that. That's why I always say it's important to know what your obligations and rights are as a consumer and what your obligations and rights are as a contractor.
Right.
So when you kind of infringe on the contractor rights, that puts you in a very weak position legally. So you have to be very careful how you do things. Like, it doesn't matter if you want the gravity of the error that a contractor does. The law stipulates an error can only become a mistake if it's not corrected, right? Mm. So you have to voice your grievance in writing. Something that's documented, because legally, again, when it's not documented, it didn't really happen. So your word, his word, that's not the good way to go.
In writing.
Now, when you do that, you have to give, by law, the contractor the chance to correct the mistake. You have to. It doesn't matter how grave that mistake is. And if you don't and you go to court, you will lose 100%.
How do you determine or come to an agreement as to what that window of time should be?
Well, I mean, it's all... Look, for example, a registered letter, like a mise en demeure, usually gives you about 10 days. That's what is considered reasonable time for someone to act. I mean, unless the situation is urgent, like the lady said she had, or Chris said that she had water leaking everywhere. That's more urgent, so that you send them an email or a letter saying, look, it's leaking everywhere.
Clock is ticking.
You know, whatever. Yeah. But usually you have to give them, you know, the standard would be 10 days. Depending on the urgency, it can go less than 10 days.
Okay.
And then after that, you give them another notice. You say the 10 days have expired and I still haven't heard from you. That will be how you're building up your case to look extremely good in court. And then at that stage, if nothing happens, then you say, I'm hiring XYZ to do the work, and I'm going to be sending you the bill. And that will kind of put you in the right spot legally. If you don't follow these steps, then you're going to have a bit of a hard time legally to win against them in small claims.
Junior Brossard, we're going to get to you in a couple of minutes, but we have to break here in just a second. Walter, if we can take maybe 90 seconds just to answer Vicky here on the text line. She has a situation. She says, on the roof of our duplex, there are two poles that connect Hydro, Quebec Electricity. We contacted Hydro, but they say it's their responsibility, meaning the owner, responsibility to get one of the poles that has fallen on the roof. So Vicky is looking if you can recommend an electrician who'll go up on the roof and check out the situation.
I mean, yeah, it is their responsibility. That is correct. So, but the more complicated part is that the master electrician will still have to work with Hydro-Québec on that. So there have to be a coordination. Hydro-Québec have to, you know, shut off the main switch from their end, and then so they can. So the electrician can do their work.
So Hydro's get involved one way or the other.
That's correct. But I mean, they don't charge for it, but the electrician and the master electrician. So there's a time factor to this as well. A master electrician, depending on your area, most master electricians will do that kind of work. But I would definitely look geographically at the area before I would recommend a master electrician, because, you know, they usually like to work within a certain territory. So if I don't know where she lives, it's very hard for me to recommend someone.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
950, let's get right to the South Shore. Brossard is where Judy has been waiting patiently. Hi, Judy.
Hi.
Hi. You want to talk about a furnace?
Yes. I'm in the process of looking around to see what I want. I need to replace an electrical hot air system furnace. So I don't know if I should go with a heat pump or go with the same electrical furnace. I don't know which one's more economical and more efficient. I want to get your advice on that.
I can tell you should go with a heat pump all day long.
Okay.
All day long. That would be the best decision you've ever made. Many reasons. Number one, you get an AC in the summer and you get a heater in the winter. Number two, the new heat pumps, minus 30, they work. Up to minus 30, you're getting the preferential rate for heating. Heat pumps, they don't take as much power as a furnace would. And if you are changing the furnace and the heat pump at the same time, that will be the optimal, because you can ensure that you're getting a compatible system together. So I always say try to get the brand of the furnace and the heat pump to be the same, so they can be compatible and you don't have any issues of compatibility. So you ensure that the heat pump kicks in, when you want it to kick in.
Okay.
So that will be extremely important. Now the other thing is, obviously you're gonna have to make a study on the brands. You have to make a study on the amperage of your electrical panel, and so on and so forth. But that's not really your job. That's going to be the ventilation company is going to come and give you the consultation on the premises, and that's how you're going to decide, which brand and, you know, if you need to upgrade the panel and everything else.
Yeah.
But do not remove the heat pump story from the table at all. Like,
okay, it's that's the way to go.
Especially the new systems. The new systems are incredible. If you combine that with a variable speed furnace, because they don't all come at variable speeds.
Valuable speed?
Variable.
Variable speed.
That's
okay.
Right. So you don't want the furnace to kick in at full force every time it kicks in, right?
Okay.
And that's how you're going to really ensure that you're saving money long term.
Okay.
And you'll save a lot of money.
There you go, Judy.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
You called the right place.
Okay, great.
Bye now.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. Bye. Going to go to St. Bruno, Walter. John, are you there?
Yes, I am.
What's the issue? Something about pipes? What's going on?
Knocking water pipes when I turn the water off. They rattle ever since I've had a bathroom installed in my basement. And the pipes is upstairs that are knocking.
Hmm.
Okay. So what you're probably having is a water hammering. A water hammer could occur if you have a shut-off valve that is not completely open. So in that new bathroom that you installed, you just make sure that all your shut-off valves are completely open. So close them and reopen them. Because if they're partially open, they could create that. Sometimes a question of a dried out washer. If that doesn't work with you, then what you want to start looking into would be a water hammer arrestor. And that will start taking all that pressure from your pipes and kind of alleviating into this diaphragm. It's not difficult and it's not expensive to install, but that should solve your problem for sure.
What is it called? A water hammer?
Water hammer arrester.
Arrester?
Yeah.
Where do you install that?
So you install that. You're going to have to install that on the pipes. Usually you have to zero in where the issues are. So if, for example, if it's below a kitchen sink, then that's when you need to install it. It's below the kitchen sink. It's really where you have to zero in on the area first. Why is it, you know, and like you said, it's, you know, in a lot of cases you added a bathroom that created some type of a domino effect. So you might want to start with that bathroom in the basement.
Okay.
John, I'm just
check
curious.
Out all your shut off valves first.
Right. Okay.
John, I'm just curious. I'm just being nosy. How'd the bathroom reno go?
Very well.
Yeah. You started from scratch. There was nothing down there and you installed one?
We had the basement gutted and then installed the bathroom.
Very nice.
Amongst other things.
All right. Joe, thanks for the call, John.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye.
That was one of the smartest things we did in our house, installed a nice bathroom downstairs.
Yeah, there's nothing like installing an additional bathroom.
Yeah. We have time for one more. Do you have time for one more? I'm going to sneak in Mike here before we get to news. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hi. A quick question.
Yeah.
If we have an electric baseboard heating system, what would be involved in adding a heat pump to that?
Ducting. And that will be the bigger part of your job, would be the ducting, believe it or not.
And that's pretty involved.
That's pretty involved. It is pretty involved, but that will give you the option of having central air as well as heat in the winter. Now, the issue with electric baseboards, it's probably the driest form of heat you can get in your home. So it makes the house very dry. So to begin with, it's not a great efficient system per se. That's why a lot of people opt for forced air, or even if you don't want to go that crazy, you can at least swap these electric baseboards to convect airs. So at least it's forced hot air rather than, you know, burning the air particles and making the house extremely dry.
But you'd have to put in pipes in the walls and things like that, right?
So there's different ways to go at it. Okay, now you have, if you want, split systems. You can go up to 5 different heads, which are wall-mounted, okay? So if you have 5 areas in the house that you want to heat and cool, you can go up to 5 of these. And these will not require ducting, okay? All what you're going to have is a split in different walls and a heat pump outside. That will be a good, if you wish, compromise. And you could use them for heat and for air conditioning. Downside to that, it works great with air conditioning because, you know, cold air drops, whereas hot air rises, and this one usually is installed higher up on the ceiling. But they still do good work in heating the place. So then your electric baseboards become auxiliary heat rather than the main heat for your home. Because, I mean, technically, electric baseboards are the least, if you want, efficient energy-wise. So you want it to be an auxiliary point of heat rather than the main source of heating. So you would use that heat pump for the milder days in the winter, up to minus 15 in cases, because these types are not completely up to minus 30 yet. And then the baseboard will kick in the colder days, and that will be a good compromise for you rather than installing ducts all over the house.
Mike, the music's playing. I hope that was some help for you, though.
Yes, thank you, everyone.
All right, thanks for the phone call, Mike and Lavelle. Walter, thank you for a good hour.
Always a pleasure, bud.
That's Walter Assey from Renovco. Back next Saturday morning at 9 o'clock with the Home Improvement Show. Jimmy G, thank you very much. He and I will be back here bright and early. Maybe not bright, but early at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning with the Weekends with Ken. And look at that. Lisa's ready to come through the door with the car show. Up next, right after the news, here on CJAD 800.